truth with a Bible in one hand
and an American flag in the other.
This is God's country.
From the Liberty University broadcast studio, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome to hour two of the big show. Wow, it is great to have you with us today. Thanks for taking some time out of your lunch hour, your midday break out on the West Coast to hang out with us. Hour two of the Todd Starnes radio program. And, folks, we've got a jam-packed show for you. We've been talking a lot about these controversies within the Southern Baptist Convention. You know, the United Methodists are about ready to split up. Now the Southern Baptists are in the throes of a debate, and we're going to be talking to some of the major players in that conversation and why, quite frankly, it's important for all of us to pay attention to this. That's coming up a little bit later. Diamond and Silk are going to drop by as well, and we're going to pay very close attention to what's happening tonight in Nevada, where the Democrats are holding a debate. For the very first time, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is going to be on the stage. The Democrats literally had to change the rules of engagement so that Bloomberg would be allowed on the stage. But here's the question for the Democrats tonight. Will they embrace Michael Bloomberg and his billions of dollars, or will they destroy him? And they have a huge opportunity to do that. And we're going to get to that in just a second. Remember Blago, Rod Blagojevich? That guy's a pretty dirty player. But the president felt like he got a bad rap and decided to go ahead and issue a pardon. Blagojevich, or we called him Blago back in the day. Blago has just wrapped up a press conference, but earlier he was talking about whether or not he is still a Democrat, because Blago is, in fact, a Democrat. Here's what he had to say. Cut number two, please.
He's got obviously a big fan in me. And if you're asking me what my party affiliation is, I'm a Trumpocrat.
Oh, a Trumpocrat. Well, I think there are a lot of people who are Trumpocrats out there, ladies and gentlemen. Trumpocrats. And we know that because they've been polling people that have been going to these Trump rallies. There's going to be one tonight in Phoenix, Arizona. And on average, about a quarter of the people going to these Trump rallies are, in fact, Democrats who are giving this president a second look. You know, they've heard what their party has been saying about Trump. They hear what these left-wing preachers have been saying about Trump. They hear what the mainstream media has been saying about Trump. They hear what Hollywood has been saying about Trump. But they realize at the end of the day, wait a second. You know, back when Obama was president, I didn't have a job. Back when Obama was president, we had no money in the bank. Back when Obama was president, we had these porous borders where we were taking care of everybody and turning a blind eye to American citizens. But now, you know, things are pretty good in the country. When you look at the Gallup polls, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of you folks are very happy out there. A lot of you folks are very content with how things are going in your life. A lot of you are taking a second look at Donald J. Trump. The man, if you believe these never Trump evangelicals, is Satan's next door neighbor. And you're realizing, wait a second, we've been fed a load of hooey, grade A hooey. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Are you better now than you were 4 years ago? That is the question. That's the question you will be forced to deal with when you go and vote on Election Day. That is the question. Well, I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, a great friend of this program, a great American patriot, and she is on Team Trump, Dr. Gina Loudon. Dr. Gina, good to have you with us.
Oh, it's such an honor to be with you today, Todd. Thanks for having me.
You know, I was going through your Twitter feed. I saw that you retweeted something from Don Trump Jr., and it's a perfect example of how the mainstream media skews things, because they're out there now saying, oh, Donald Trump's out there pardoning everybody. He's pardoning everybody. But as Don Jr. points out, he has pardoned fewer people than any other president going back to Jimmy Carter.
Well, if you use the definition of everybody, it's true. He is pardoning people without regard to race, color, creed, class, and all the things that the Democrats have always claimed, Todd, that people were supposed to be pardoned for. You know, they've always said, oh, you know, it should be about sentences that were ridiculous for whatever the crime was, right? And they've always said it was supposed to be things like crimes where people weren't really a danger to society, but they were given too much time for the crime, and that it was so disproportionate, right? So many times in cases of maybe someone who was a minority and they were given a charge for maybe their home was used for a drug transaction or something like that. Well, these are the sorts of people that are exactly whom President Trump has given pardons to, but they don't want to talk about those people. Instead, they want to try to paint a picture of him pardoning billionaires or friends or things like that, when indeed he's pardoned all sorts of people from all walks of life, including Democrats, without regard to party or race or color or creed, but they never want to discuss the truth.
Now, Dr. Gina, I know that you live out on the left coast among the indigenous liberal population out there. I got to tell you, are you folks, are the conservatives in California and Nevada and Arizona as excited as I am that he is going to be there and he's campaigning boots on the ground?
You know, actually, Todd, we were sort of chased out of California, if you will. This is a true story. My husband, there were two laws written by Governor Brown making my husband's job illegal because my husband was exposing fraud and abuse happening in the system there by the unions and Governor Brown. And so there were two laws written that made it impossible for my husband to actually continue to do his work exposing that waste, fraud, and abuse. So we ended up having to move over to Florida. So we are now in Palm Beach. But the last time I talked to you, you are exactly right. We were in San Diego. And I can absolutely tell you that my friends there do report that they are ecstatic that the president and Team Trump is going to be there. They love when they get a visit from him. And that there is nothing like a patriot from the West Coast, because they have each other and they are sort of a small but very vocal minority there, and they are determined to take their coast back, as you know. And so absolutely, they are so elated to have the president coming, and their love for him is, you know, I never forget this about the Patriots on the West Coast, because I was a national delegate for the president from California, as you know, and he seated, I'll never forget this, knowing that he wasn't going to win California, he seated the delegates from California in the very front and center at the national convention, because that's the kind of loyal person that he is. And I will never forget that. That told me about who he was very early on, before I'd ever even met him. Now that I live here in Palm Beach, of course, I have the honor of getting to see him many weekends here at Mar-a-Lago, and that's a pleasure, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an added benefit, I would say.
Absolutely.
It's not the Motel 6. It's Mar-a-Lago.
No,
it's beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
It's a nice place.
Look, I want to talk real quick about the debate tonight. And, normally I tell our listeners, don't watch. We'll do it for you. It's a public service. No need to expose yourself to that. But tonight, Dr. Gina, this is going to be fascinating TV. What do you think the Democrats are going to do with Mike Bloomberg on the stage?
This will be epic. He is not ready for prime time. When you look at the differences in the amount of interviews they've given, I believe Buttigieg, or however you say his last name, Buttigieg, I guess we're supposed to say, we've been instructed, has given like 26 or more interviews, and all the other, I guess, in the last couple of weeks, and all the other candidates have given lots of interviews. He's given one. And I guarantee you it was friendly. He doesn't know what he's doing. He has made more gaffes that we're seeing exposed every single day. This man is not ready for prime time. He won't be able to handle himself on a stage with other Democrats, let alone imagine him handling himself on a stage with someone as well-versed as President Trump, who really, you know, eats enemies for lunch. This will not be pretty if he would end up being the nominee. And I believe the president when he says that he would jump at that chance to run against him. So I think it will be very entertaining. And I appreciate the public service you're doing, Todd, of watching it for your audience. It's good of you. But I think it might be interesting to watch tonight, because I think that they are going to come guns a-blazing at this man who is essentially trying to purchase an election away from an election that is rightfully belongs to Bernie. This election belongs to Bernie. The Democrats are electing a socialist. They need to let that be and stop trying to take it away from him. I think it'll be fascinating to watch.
It is going, and to that point, I've told our listening audience tonight, you got to watch it. You got to watch it, because this is going to be amazing. They are either going to embrace this billionaire or they're going to destroy the guy. And Dr. Gina, I mean, geez, Lou, he has Bloomberg on video, has insulted every single demographic of identity politics in the Democrat Party. It's unbelievable.
That's right. That's right. You know, for years, they've tried two things now, identity politics and trashing Trump. And Todd, neither one of them have worked, but it's like teaching an old dog new tricks. They won't learn. I wrote about this in my book, Mad Politics. I talk about this every single day in my capacity as national co-chair of Women for Trump. We're watching women jump ship left and right from the identity politics. They've been made all of these promises if they would just give the Democrats their vote. For how many decades now, Todd, have we watched women be promised all of these things from the likes of the Democrats, while the Democrats, one after another, insult women? And now here they are, letting their election be purchased by a billionaire who has not just insulted women, but has insulted virtually every minority, has insulted women in the raunchiest of ways, and they're standing back and letting him buy the election away from them. If this doesn't tell you, and then you contrast that with what our president has done, which is give opportunity to all minorities, blacks, Hispanics, Latino, unemployment at record lows, the opportunities given to women, more women given opportunities than ever before under any administration, records being set every single day for all sorts of people that the Democrats have made promises to in exchange for their votes for decades. But the real promises were made and the real promises were delivered under this president and under this party, for the first time that we've ever seen it done in the ways that that this president has done it. And I think there's been a revolution of sorts, and I don't think that should be overlooked. And that's why I'm so proud to
well
be
said.
Part of this team who's doing it.
All right, Dr. Gina, we're going to have to leave it there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Enjoy the lovely state of Florida. Welcome to our side of the country. So good people down in that part of the nation.
Thank you. Happy to be here and wishing all the best to everyone on the other side tonight as they enjoy all the going on there.
Dr. Gina Loudon, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot, incredible author. DrGinaLoudon.com is her website. Got to check out it's a great website, a lot of great information there. DrGinaLoudon.com. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll free number. ToddStearns.com is our website. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
To the Todd Stearns radio program. Hey, by the way, now is a great time to head over to the website, toddstearns.com. We have a lot of people signing up for the annual fall getaway. It's going to be held in October at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. Just an awesome weekend of hanging out, lots of laughter, great fellowship, incredible music, delicious food. And as Avery, the call screener, pointed out, yes, the soft serve ice cream is all you can eat. So it's a pretty good deal. That's worth the price of admission right there.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be there the whole time.
ToddStearns.com. Sign up. And, you know, if you're bringing a church group, we do have some discounts available. All the info is there. Our good friend Dr. Dennis Swanberg is going to be there. The Irwins, one of the best Southern gospel music groups, will be there all weekend. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Want to see you there. ToddStearns.com. Click on the events tab. So look, last week we told you about this this big story developing in the Christian world, and it's an important story for the entire nation as the Conservative Baptist Network was launched. And we had a great conversation with Brad Jerkovich, who is the spokesperson for this group. And we wanted to bring him back on because there have been some new developments. And also wanted to bring onto the program Rod Martin, who is a good friend of this program. He is a Southern Baptist layman, and he is also a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's Executive Committee. And both of you guys are on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Welcome to the show.
Good to be
here. Thank you so much, Todd. Yep, glad to be here, bud.
All right. Well, let's first. I want to get an update on how things are going with this Conservative Baptist Network, Brad. This thing launched late last week. Give us an update on how many people have signed up and what's been the reaction.
Todd, it's really been amazing. You know, we launched on Valentine's Day on a Friday, went into the weekend, and it just came out of the gate very, very strong. We're really close to about 4,000 who have joined our network in these last few days. Churches and pastors from around the country, and continually hearing people just asking more information about this Conservative Baptist Network. People love the Southern Baptist denomination. They want to see it strong, and they're hopeful that this network can give them a voice and some focus to where we can see God really use it in a great way.
You know, Rod, when you look at what's been happening for the past several years with the United Methodist Church as they're grappling with some very serious issues facing that denomination, and now we're starting to see concerns from a different perspective in the Southern Baptist world. What are some of those concerns that have driven people to this this Conservative Baptist Network?
You know, there's no one single thing. We just saw a couple of these issues arise at the executive committee yesterday, and I think the executive committee took very decisive action on both of them, which demonstrates that for those who think, oh, the entire SBC has been taken over by liberals, well, that's just demonstrably not true. There are some voices that take a position I'm not comfortable with, who certainly have a very loud microphone, but the Baptist in the pew just isn't there. Maybe some pews in some churches, but like in the 80s, certainly not the overwhelming majority. And we have a church polity that allows for those people to be heard and make a difference in a powerful way, as we saw in the resurgence. So you see that certainly, like I said, at the executive committee yesterday, we dealt sadly, tragically, but we dealt with the issue that is animating a lot of people this week about the SBC Pastors Conference, where we are platforming several people that I've heard a lot of complaints about, certainly, but none so much as the platforming of an actual teaching pastor of a non-SBC church, which is not really the issue. It's the teaching pastor part.
Now, hey, Rod, hold on. We're going to have to take a quick break here. When we get back, we're going to blow up this conversation here, and I want you to continue your thought. Also want to ask you guys about the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Folks, we're going to be taking your calls, too, 844-747-8868. Brad Jerkovich, Rod Martin, talking about the Southern Baptist Convention. What in the heck is going on? We're going to get more to that right now. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. What a great honor to have you with us here today on the Newsmaker line. I want to get right back to our conversation. Sorry for that, guys, but we had to break for the news. We got to pay bills, so that's the way it works. Brad Jerkovich from First Baptist Church of Bossier City, Louisiana, great part of the country, and also Rod Martin, who is a Southern Baptist layman. He's a member of the Southern Baptist Convention Executive Committee. Rod, I want to get back to what you were talking about. There's two big controversies yesterday, one being this pastor's conference that you guys normally have right before the Southern Baptist Convention meeting. Just real quick here, I don't want to get too much in the weeds here, but what was the big issue here?
Well, there are a number of issues with the people that the pastor's conference officers are seeking to platform, and we have heard tremendous amounts of feedback about that from all across the country. But the one that was certainly most disconcerting me and a lot of members of the EC yesterday was the platforming of an actual teaching pastor of a church who is a woman. Obviously, the Baptist Faith and Message clearly prohibits a woman from holding the office of pastor, and this would be the Southern Baptist Convention saying that this is okay and the BFM just doesn't matter. And as it turned out, several of us made that argument rather strongly, both in committee and in the plenary session of the executive committee. And we passed a resolution that will have the effect of kicking the pastor's conference out of the convention hall unless some accommodation can be made within the next week. And we left that in the hands of the officers of the executive committee to work out with Pastor Youth at First Baptist Orlando. We very much hope that an accommodation can be made. We don't want to do this, and we certainly, I don't think any of us have any thing but fond feeling toward Pastor Youth, who has a wonderful church and has had a wonderful ministry. But when you cross a line that bright, I don't think that we have any ability to hold back from doing what obviously must be done. And we've had a lot of issues like this over the past several years. A lot of Southern Baptists are very upset. We're hearing a lot of feedback to the degree that people feel isolated, they feel left out, they feel like their leaders aren't listening to them, they feel like it may be time to pull their money out of the convention. And I just want to say, as a Southern Baptist layman, my career does not hang on this. Everything I do in SBC life costs me money. So it's not, you know, I'm not trying to advance my agenda, but as a Southern Baptist layman and lifelong involved in the convention, this is the most incredible thing God's ever organized. We have the largest evangelical missionary force in the history of the world. We educate a third of the seminary students on this continent. This is an amazing thing. And if Southern Baptists in the pew want to make sure that it is in the doctrinal direction of their choosing and of their belief, honestly, Todd, the only thing they have to do to ensure that is get in their car or get on a plane and go to the annual meeting every year and vote right. That's really all it takes. We saw that in the 80s. We need to see it again. And you know, I'm not endorsing a candidate in saying that. I'm just saying this belongs to the Baptist in the pew.
Okay, let me jump in here, Rod, please. Yeah, hold on, let me jump in here. We don't have a lot of time here, guys. And I do want to address this issue, which really was probably the national story coming out of what happened over the past day or so at the in Nashville at the Southern Baptist Convention meeting. This is the headline from Religion News Service. And Dr. Jerkovich, I'd like for you to weigh in on this. Trump critic Russell Moore, ERLC, to face scrutiny by Southern Baptists. And I understand that there was a task force that's going to be launched to examine the activities of the ERLC. And that does seem to be a big concern among Southern Baptists, and especially these attacks on the president. But again, I'm interested in the framing of this from the national perspective. Is this really about Donald Trump, or is this about something else?
Well, it's about this is Brad here, Rod. So, you know, look, it is about making sure our Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission is representing Southern Baptists. And I think Southern Baptists had a very, very difficult time when leadership of the ERLC was castigating pastors' motives in the last election, and including myself as a pastor. I reached out to the ERLC. I mean, I had these conversations because we're losing our Christian witness if we vote for a certain platform or with this president. And thousands of pastors are sitting there going, wait a minute. Southern Baptists have fought for religious liberty, fought for freedom, fought for freedom of conscience and voting. We should be engaged. And what happens is it was just this impugning of motives and character for thousands of pastors by our own entity. And so I think this has been boiling and boiling, Todd, and I'm proud of the executive committee saying, no, we're going to look at this because churches across our denomination are disengaging with this. And that's very important for Southern Baptists. Absolutely.
And Rod, I want you to weigh in on this as well. We just heard Mayor Pete Buttigieg yesterday at CNN Town Hall, and there is this there's this idea, this narrative that if you are a Christian and you support Donald Trump, that makes you a bad person, or maybe you're really not a Christian. And this is, it's really shocking, but this is really what a good many people in the never Trump evangelical world are saying as well. And I'm concerned that there is an effort to try and discourage Christians from going out to vote on Election Day. And that's a problem in my estimation.
Oh, I completely agree, and I have to say, look, I supported Donald Trump very reluctantly. I supported exclusively Southern Baptist candidates for president, of which we had two perfectly good ones, I might add, one of whom came second, and I used to work for the other one. And I have to say, I was disappointed that the same people who are so vociferously never Trump now, for the most part, didn't support either of our Southern Baptist candidates. But that is indeed another story. So yes, if people are voting their conscience to avoid a Marxist takeover of the Supreme Court for the rest of our lifetime, and we have seen what liberal judges are doing now. If they could, they would padlock our churches, they would strip away our tax exemptions, they would force our pastors to hire transgendered pro-aborts to be their associate pastors. It would be a nightmare, and we see this everywhere that the progressive wing of pick a party in any Western country you care to gains power, and that would have been a majority once Hillary Clinton put her choice into Antonin Scalia's seat. That the 183 judges that Donald Trump has gotten confirmed to the federal judiciary would have all been her picks and all in that vein. And the idea that we're using tithe dollars to shame Southern Baptists who thought that that might be a bad idea, and maybe they ought to stand up for their pastor and keep him safe, I just can't fathom it. I really, truly can't.
You know, guys, I don't want to burst your bubble if there's a bubble to be burst here, but Brad, after you were on the show Friday, I started getting all this hate mail from a good many Baptist preachers. And I have to tell you, fellas, I've been in politics for a long time now. I think I would rather get hate mail from the Democrats than some of the stuff I've been getting from these preachers. There's a lot of ugly stuff out there. I want to read to you a tweet from an Atlanta radio host talking about, and Rod, I want to get your reaction to this, talking about what just happened at the Southern Baptist Convention meeting there, the executive committee meeting. He says, this whole we're purer than you effort to remake the Southern Baptist Convention in Trump's image is really nuts. Trying to ruin good conservative pastors because they won't hump Trump's leg reeks of fire and brimstone. This guy defending the ERLC.
Well, that's disgusting. And I don't know who said it, but shame on that person. That's gross. And I would expect that from pagans. But moreover, I don't want to make anything in Donald Trump's image. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. Our job shouldn't be politicizing everything in the way that our left-wing friends choose to do. I'll give you a perfect example of what I'm talking about. At the Dallas Convention 2 years ago, there were two identically worded motions, which tells you one person wrote them both. There were two identically worded motions from the floor in protest of Vice President Pence coming to give us a greeting. And they both said the same thing. They wanted to ban all political speakers at the Southern Baptist Convention from that day forward, except for a similar greeting to be offered by the host city mayor. Well, that sounds innocuous to a bunch of preachers. I understand that, but I've been around the block a time or two, and I know what they were doing. The host city mayor of any city big enough to host a Southern Baptist convention is, in all cases whatsoever, a Democrat.
That's a good
point.
Now,
come on, guys. This isn't depoliticizing the Southern Baptist Convention. It is politicizing it in a particular agenda's direction. And we have seen that again and again and again. That's what the social justice agenda is at its core. And we see it over and over. And by the way, if you haven't yet, you need to go watch Tom Askell's documentary on social justice and what that means in the SBC. It's called By This Standard. You can go to founders.org and see that. And it is amazing what they uncovered and what they showed, and honestly, the graciousness with which they did that. But yes, it's extremely political. I'm against the politicization. I'm a very political person, but I want my church to preach the gospel. I don't want it doing what some of these folks are doing.
Brad, I want you to jump in here. I mean, the view from the pulpit there, your reaction to some of this really nastiness that's out there being directed at the Conservative Baptist Network.
Yeah, that's what I was going to just say as well. I mean, Rod was absolutely right. We're about the Lord Jesus Christ and preaching, and so I am going to tell you it's been disappointing to see many in SBC leadership take these swipes, or some of them are making passive-aggressive comments toward the Conservative Baptist Network. But the bottom line is we've got almost 4,000 churches and pastors signed up who are excited about what God's doing. Why? Because we're passionate about standing for the Word of God cover to cover without apology, Baptist doctrine, evangelism, our mission zeal. And so when some of these folks are attacking our group, it's very revealing, in my view, of some of these exact issues in the SBC that have led churches to form this group. I mean, it's what we're seeing, and just by the reaction. So it's disappointing. Honestly, when we launched this, we knew there would be pushback. Todd, it's disappointing, but at the end of the day, we're gonna stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We love people. We want to see this world one to Christ. Christ is returning again soon. And we want the Southern Baptist family to be strong in these days, Todd. So we're going to press on, my friend. And a lot of people are standing with us, and we're excited.
And Rod, one final word from you. I mean, when you look at, and I've had a chance to go through, and I'm excited about the Conservative Baptist Network, and I signed up for it. I think it's a good thing. And when you look at what you guys are wanting to accomplish here, they're all good things. There's really nothing political about what you guys are trying to do here.
We would like very much to have our leaders cease slapping down any Baptists who happen to love their country or have a political point of view that doesn't actually comport with critical race theory. I mean, that's a small thing to ask, I think. So we reference patriotism on the website. But no, we don't have a political agenda with this. I have plenty of other parts of my life in which I can do that. You know what I want? I want the Baptist in the pew to feel represented. I want him to not be talked down to. I want a former president of the Southern Baptist Convention to quit referring to the Baptist in the pew as the little people. I want some respect for our folks, the folks who get it done every day, who witness at the grocery store, who write their tithe check every week. I don't think that's too much to ask. And when we achieve that, then we can start having a great awakening. Then we can start getting the gospel preached. Then we can start seeing the things happen that we all pray for. But the truth is, how on God's earth are you going to go fishing if you don't first untangle your nets?
Well, that's a good question. Fellas, we're going to have to leave it there. We've got to take a break. Real quick, Brad, where can folks go if they want to join the Conservative Baptist Network and sign up for it?
Yeah, our website, Todd, conservativebaptistnetwork.com. We're on all the social media platforms. People are doing it every day. It's really exciting. We thank you so much for your encouragement.
You got it. All right, fellas, we're going to have to leave it there. Brad Jerkovich from First Baptist Church, Bossier City, Louisiana, Southern Baptist layman Rod Martin. Gentlemen, thank you both. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
Todd. God bless.
Oh, geez, Alou. You know, I'm going to get the hate mail now. I don't know why. I do not know why, but we get the hate mail from these some of these preachers. Geez, Alou. All right, look, we've got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Starnes Radio Show. That was a pretty amazing conversation we just had about what's happening in the Southern Baptist Convention. This matters, folks, because they are the second largest denomination in America, and we can't let the Baptists go wobbly. You know, the Catholics, you guys are struggling right now with your Pope you got, and it's a tough. I feel your pain, but we've got to stick together here. Got to stick together. Let's get to the phones. Connor in Boston. Connor, good hearing from you.
Hey Todd, good to be with you. And I'll tell you, this hate mail you're getting is probably coming from a bunch of liberals in their mother's basement. So,
more than likely, yes. Thank you for that.
But Todd, it's like religion in this country, as Christians, I mean, just in general, we are under attack by the left. It's like they do not like Christians. And I know you wrote about this in Culture Jihad. I mean, folks, you got to check out this book. I mean, Todd is very clear on some of the things that can happen in this country based on the left's views towards our religion. But we've got to protect our church houses, Todd. We've got to protect our values, and we got to elect more Republicans and more folks who are going to vote for our values and vote to protect Christians, protect freedom of religion in this country. Right now is probably one of the biggest times in the history throughout our country where we have a really good chance of losing some of the values in our church houses that we've had forever. And we just got to protect it, because it's one of the things in this country that is just sacred. And yeah, we just have to protect it, Todd.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Connor. And look, I appreciate those kind words. And folks, I do hope you read the book, because we sort of lay it out what happens, you know, if Christians disengage from the culture war fight. And it's not pretty. It's really not. Connor, great hearing from you. Give us a call back soon. We've got to take a break here. We're coming up on a tight break for the news here. But folks, this is a big deal. And even in the conservative world, a lot of folks don't want to talk about the religious component of who we are. But when you go back and look at William F. Buckley, this was a religious fight to him. This was about God. When you go back to our founding fathers, this was one nation under God. This nation only works if you have God in the equation. And it concerns me when you start to see folks and denominations go wobbly. We're going to be taking your calls, 844-747-8868, toll-free number, 844-747-8868. Diamond and Silk coming up next. This is the Todd Stern Show.